Welcome to WRTI's Classical Stream, made possible by contributions from listeners like you. Learn more at WRTI.org.
Jackie Ryan, vocalist, our guest today here on Crossover. Welcome, Jackie Ryan.
Thank you.
A wonderful singer who has really just, I think, taken the world by storm.
Oh.
You have. You really have. I mean, you've had some tremendous success in the last few weeks. Certainly.
Yeah. Last 5 weeks has been
top of the charts.
Yeah. Numero uno.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, it makes me feel great.
Now, is that with your newest album, or is that, which is?
Doozy. Mm-hmm. It's called Doozy. I like the word.
Yeah, it's a doozy.
Yeah, it's a double CD, sold for the price of one. How about that? It debuted at number four. Those DJs just jumped on it, and it went to number one in the second week, and it stayed there for the last 5 weeks, and I think that's a record. So
that's absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, happy.
Well, this is not, I mean, this is what, your third album, or have you done more than that?
Four, probably. Mm-hmm. I think it's the fourth on this label, and then I did one before that on some another label.
So Jackie is a jazz singer and a great musician and a... There was once a singer by the name of Ema Sumac, and she had an enormous range, and you have a 3.5-octave range, don't you?
Yeah, at the outside, you know, I don't use those notes much, but they come in handy once in a while.
Tell us a little bit about you and your background and how you got started, and where are you from originally?
A small town called San Rafael. It's San Rafael, they call it there. Yeah. It's about 20 minutes north of San Francisco.
Yeah.
And working class family, you know, my father worked at Standard Oil, and my mom was a stay-at-home mom, and we had four kids in the family, a little tiny house. I've gone back to look at it. I don't know how we all survived in this little house, but we didn't think of it as small.
No.
You know, in those days. And my parents were both singers, not really professional. My father studied classical music, and when he was young, he did do concerts, Brahms, Schubert, Tchaikovsky, you know, and in all the languages. An incredible singer. My father really sounded like Carreras. You know.
Did he sing professionally at all, or did he just sing?
He did when he was younger, and then when he went to war, you know, in the 40s, and then he started raising a family, and he had to get to work, so he didn't. But I think he would have loved to have continued that, and he really would have been one of the top singers in the world. I really think
had a beautiful voice.
Strong.
Baritone.
Very powerful. Baritone, but he could go into tenor and bass. He really had an incredible range. And my mother was a beautiful singer, and she used to sing in operettas in Mexico. She was from Mexico.
Oh, the Zarzuelas?
Acapulco is where she was from. Uh-huh. And then her family moved up to San Francisco because there were still some problems with the war in Mexico. And so her father wanted the family out of Mexico, because there was some danger happening in Acapulco at that time. And so he moved them to San Francisco, but he stayed in Mexico and, sent the money up. So, and she had seven siblings, and they were very poor. And
now, Ryan isn't exactly a Mexican.
No, her name was Garcia.
And your father was?
Ryan. Yeah. So I'm Mexican and Irish.
Oh, what a combination.
Yeah,
certainly vocally.
They call us green bean. I'm a green bean. Anthony Quinn was a green bean.
Oh, he's wonderful.
There's a few of them out there. But
you certainly inherited your pipes from
both of them. And my mother would sing all the time around the house. And, you know, she sang little Mexican songs. So the first music I heard was Spanish music, really. You know, but so much heart and passion in that music.
Yes.
You know, so I think that's where I get all that mix up from, you know.
Yes, well, your voice, as we will hear, is very rich. It's kind of surprising. I mean, you have a tremendous coloration in your voice. It's deep and it's sensuous, of course, but it's very, very rich.
Oh, thank you.
And so I guess that in especially for jazz singing is very, very good. I mean, but then you, of course, you do some pretty straight ballads as well.
I just love music, and I'm not really call them a jazz snob or whatever. You know, I love jazz because there's so many kinds of music in jazz, and jazz is open to so many influences because that's what jazz is, you know, the African and the European. And,
yes.
you know, everything. But
I was going to ask you about that. Jazz is going in what direction these days? It's very different from contemporary jazz. I mean, it's still, you're still a vocalist. I mean, you're still a song stylist, as we used to call it. But you incorporate every style. I mean, you're
I do. The very one of the very first records I put out, I was working with a pianist at the time, and he loved, he's from his Balkan area, and he loved the Spanish Connection, and because it's similar to his music where he was, when he was growing, but he's a jazz pianist, and he said, oh, you have to put Historia de un Amor on there, and because I played that with him, and I said, oh, but this is a jazz album, I don't think that that would work, you know, and he says, you have to do that, that's part of you, and he was right, you know, and so I did, and people really loved it, and you know, because when I do a concert, I just do it all, and I don't just stick with jazz, because that's who I am. Really, is all these different colors.
So, when did you record that?
Yeah.
Have you progressed in terms of the way you're singing? I mean, have you once you kind of got into this whole mode?
I suppose just, you know, you're always progressing. Hopefully, you know, and I just love music, and I'm always looking for new music and whatever seems to click for me, you know.
So when did you start? So here you have two parents who have this marvelous talent, and you sang, you started singing.
I was singing when I was probably a baby, you know, when I was, as soon as I could talk, I'm sure I was singing, because I do remember performing a song for my mother and my sister when I was four. Because I wrote it. You know, I said it was a song about my birthday and being four and how much I love the number four.
Oh, how wonderful.
So I remember performing. So I know that I was already into it at that age, you know.
Well, on one of your albums, I think you wrote the lyrics to Seasons of the Heart.
Yeah, that was one, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Have you written lyrics to any of the other
A
films?
Few others, yeah. Uh-huh. I wrote a little vocalist on Doozy to the first song, Doozy. Vocalise is when you write lyrics to someone's solo, instrumental solo, and that's fun to do too.
Well, you know, in classical music, a vocalise is a sung melody without words.
Oh, okay. In jazz,
it's very interesting. It's quite the opposite.
Oh.
Yeah, it's sung without words. There's a very famous one. Rachmaninoff wrote something called Vocalise, and it's just hummed. And also the Bachianus Brasileiros.
Oh, I love that.
That is really a vocalise. Because you're supposed to hum it. You're not supposed to open your mouth.
I know. I'm going to put that on an album.
I
know the whole melody.
Yes, I would love to hear you.
I love that. I love that music.
The Villa Lobos.
I love that music. And I love Fado music also.
I did some interviews with some Fado, the Portuguese, of course, singers. It is infectious.
Oh,
and a very, very fine art. I was going to ask you if you had ever done it.
I haven't, you know, because there's some music that I almost feel you have to be from that culture to do, you know, but I want to explore that a bit. That is so passionate. I just love it.
And it's again so much the culture of the country. But you do speak Portuguese, or you sing Portuguese?
Well,
certainly.
I studied it. I studied it, you know, for a couple of years, and you know, I'm not fluent or anything. But when I sing in another language, I want to study the language and make sure I'm not just, you know, I'm not doing it phonetically. I know what I'm doing, and I know the pronunciation, and that's important to me. This was my first one for the label, and I put a picture of my mother on the back.
Oh, isn't that beautiful? You look quite a lot like her, actually.
Apparently a lot alike. She passed away when I was young.
Oh, that's sad. Isn't that beautiful? And for the audience, I want to say that Jackie resembles Ava Gardner.
Oh!
Yes.
I don't think so.
Can you imagine with a voice like that and looking like Ava Gardner?
Oh, no.
So, now, on this album, this is what, is that your first?
That was the first on this label, Passion Flower.
Passion Flower. And you said you wrote some of the lyrics.
Yeah, there's a Barry Harris song. The last song on there is called Deep Love, and I wrote the lyrics to that. And I wrote the lyrics also to O Silencio das Estrelas, which is a Portuguese song.
Silence of the Stars.
The Silence of the Stars.
So you sing that, of course, in
Portuguese and English too.
So now, what were you doing before you started recording for this label?
Just working, you know. I started singing, well, like I say, I started singing when I was young, but professionally when I was 15. And I wrote my own music then a lot. And then through my teens, I loved rhythm and blues. And so I was in a band and we performed when I was my teens. And then out of high school, we traveled all over the country and up into Canada. And so I was working, always working with music.
So you actually started to sing professionally, I mean, at
when
a very young
15.
Age, yeah, and mm-hmm. you were traveling around. Now, you have this wonderful doozy of an album that's really terrific, and it's, I think, double mm-hmm. CDs. Blues, Rhythm and Blues, that Opportunity Please Knock. Tell us about that one. That's terrific.
That's a great song. Well, I love Oscar Brown Jr. He was really a Renaissance man, way ahead of his time, and I don't feel he got the recognition that he deserved. He was just a great man. He was a poet, an activist for civil rights and in the 60s. And there's a cute little story about this song, Opportunity Please Knock. He had written a musical in Chicago, south side of Chicago, called Summer in the City. And it was on stage, but he was having a hard time getting an audience because there was a lot of gang activity in that area. And he decided he had to just go talk to those gang leaders. So he went out and he approached them and he said, listen, you know, you're stepping on my thing here. You know, you're making it hard for me to get an audience. What can I do to appease you? And they said, well, how about you put us in your next play? And he said, okay. So he wrote a play for the gang members.
Oh my goodness.
And the name of the play was Opportunity, Please Knock. And from that, it became so successful that these gang, they started a whole thing, that they would.
A series?
they would go out and seek out inner city talent. And they went on the Smothers Brothers and they became kind of famous. And, so they went on to do really good work. So he really did something wonderful.
Yeah, something
and that's creative. Continued on.
Isn't that amazing?
Isn't that wonderful? And one of the groups that they discovered was the Jackson Five. Isn't that interesting? So that's where that song comes from.
Well, you know, sports and music, I guess. That's the way to appeal to the younger generation
sure.
that is not advantaged.
Yeah, and give them something to, you know, wonderful to do.
So that's on this new album. And did you do anything on this one that you wanted to do for a long time?
Well, you know, a lot of the songs on this new CD I've known since I started singing jazz, which I won't even tell you is how many years, a long time.
She doesn't look it.
a long time. Because I recorded You in the Night and the Music only 4 months before recording Doozy. And I was in the midst of recording You in the Night and the Music when I was asked to come to New York and do Doozy. And I thought, oh my God, I can't come up with a whole another concept. You know, I was really kind of nervous about, you know, doing this. So I thought, well, you know, why don't I just record songs that I know really well? And so Doozy is a lot of songs that I've done for many, many years that audiences, you know, have come up and said, have you got that on a record? And I thought, what are the songs that mm-hmm. the audiences really have always pointed out that they loved? So that's what Doozy is. And that's why it's done so well.
You know? Well, I think anything that you, when you appeal to a large segment, you also, I don't want to sound too commercially minded, but also mm-hmm. anything that you sing in Spanish or Portuguese will certainly attract another segment mm-hmm. of the listening public mm-hmm. because that is a very huge segment now in the United States.
It is.
Now, as a jazz singer, don't forget, we're going to have classical listeners listening to you on this program. And tell us a little bit about, did you know you wanted to sing jazz when you started, or is this something that kind of evolved?
It very much evolved. What happened was, you know, my parents really didn't listen to jazz. Like I say, you know, my father came from the classical and they sang in the church choir. They sang in the Latin masses, which I actually still love.
Magnificent.
Oh, you know, yeah. And when they would take me up into the choir loft when I was 4, and I would stand there among all these beautiful voices singing Gregorian chants and this and that. And I loved it. I loved it. It still moves me so much to hear Latin masses. So, that got into my bones. And, you know, so I really wasn't raised with jazz per se. And I say I got into the rhythm and blues when I was in my teens. What happened actually was that I was really belting out those rhythm and blues songs. And I was with a band that was a bit loud. and we were playing for dances and working a very heavy schedule. And my voice started really feeling it. And it went from 3.5 octaves to less than an octave over a period of time.
Just plain strange.
Yeah, and I didn't have notes, but I did develop what they call bowed vocal cords. And so I had to go to speech therapy, and I had to stop singing. And it killed me. And this was when I was in my early 20s. And I was devastated by it, but I had to stop. And so so I did go to speech therapy and learned to use my voice correctly. I never had voice lessons.
I was just going to ask.
No, this wasn't voice lessons. It was doing exercises.
How to produce the sound, yeah. I guess.
Well, no, not even that. It was how to get my vocal cords to work correctly again because they developed this odd angle.
Oh, my.
Yeah, so I had to do, you know, these exercises to use the whole range of my voice because, you know, in America, we speak differently than they do in other languages. You know, when you hear it in India, for instance, they talk like they literally use the whole vocal
range. Lyrical, yeah.
And right, in most other countries. But in America, we have a tendency to talk like this and think, you know.
Using the same position.
The same position on them. Mm-hmm. And so I had to learn to use my whole voice and this and that, you know. So anyway, I did this for 2 years, the vocal, you know,
whatever
exercises. Okay. I wasn't allowed to sing.
Really?
For 2 years. And it was painful in many ways, you know.
Oh, emotionally.
Psychologically, sure. And everything. But I learned other things at that time. I started painting and this and that, you
really?
Know. But then I started listening to a jazz station, and I just flipped out when I heard the song Spring Can Really Hang You Up the Most. And it was Betty Carter.
Oh, yes,
jazz.
Wonderful.
She was incredible. And I heard her sing that song, and I had an epiphany at that point because there was nothing like that in rhythm and blues, that kind of melody and mm-hmm. lyric. And I thought, oh, my, you know, this is so I just switched at that time. I really got into jazz. And that's when it happened.
When we listen to you sing with some of these great, great musicians mm. that you have working with you, of course, jazz musicians play off each other. I mean, it is certainly very improvisational.
Yeah.
How, as a singer, do you do that? Is that also the same experience?
Yeah, it is. You know, it's like driving a car. You know, you get into a new car, and you know, it's a different feeling. And so, mm-hmm. yeah, we play off of each other. And if somebody, you know, the way they play influences the way I sing.
Yes, it's very evident, by the way, mm-hmm. when you listen to you,
uh-huh.
and then you become part of the ensemble, which is, of course, what it's all about.
Yeah, Cyrus has a lot of church gospel in his playing.
Cyrus Chestnut.
Yeah, Cyrus Chestnut.
Yeah, he's on the album.
Yeah.
Here, yeah.
So I resonated with that very well. And, you know, the prior album was Tamir Handelman, and he's a classically trained pianist from Israel.
Ah.
And so his playing brought out maybe a more classical approach from me too, you know.
I was not even going to ask you if you have any favorites, because I certainly do after listening to your albums.
I do. You know, there's just so many I love, you know. On the last CD, and I know you're a harpist.
Yes, that's right.
I met Carol Robbins through BP, who
and
works here at
Well, actually, BP met him through me.
That's all.
Because I think there are many harpists who think they're jazz harpists. She's really a jazz harpist.
Yeah, Carol Robbins.
And she's wonderful, and we're going to listen to that tune.
Yeah, great.
Which is?
You Are There. That was a duet that I did with Carol.
Well, listen, Jackie, just keep us posted. Even though we're dual format here on the station, we love jazz artists, and I wish you the very, very best.
Let us
know about anything that you do.
Okay, I will, and I appreciate what you do.
Thank you. Great talking
to you. Thank you. Great talking to you, too, Jill. Okay.